let's bring in Richard Pound, who's one of the architects of that testing net. He's Council Steichman Elliott, IOC member, founding chairman, WADA. Mr. Pound, thank you so much for joining Stephen and myself. I saw some of your comments after the IOC announcement. You know, for what it's worth, I tend to side with you. I'm not surprised this is the way it turned out. Had it been me, I would have preferred something, I think something a little stronger. But, you know, what's your take on what the IOC did? And, well, and Dick, I'll just ask you. I mean, is, as Brunt pointed out, is this the win for drug testing, or is it in some ways a loss for drug testing?
It's actually all of the above.
Okay.
I mean, it's a small victory, but it's not the silver bullet that's going to, you know, eliminate drug use from sport. But I think had we not done this, whatever credibility Olympic sport has and the IOC has would have taken a terrible, perhaps irredeemable hit.
Now, Dick, one of the things you suggested before the decision came down, talking about, you know, what you thought the IOC should do, is that if you don't throw them out completely, if you don't expel the Russians completely from the Olympics, that gives them the option to walk away, that they can say, no, we're not going, and then it's their decision, and that plays differently domestically, and it doesn't give them the moral authority, but it does give them kind of a walk away position. And that's, you know, that's what they have. You know, we're waiting today to see what they do, but... do you still think that that's what the IOC should have done, that they should have expelled Russia and all Russian competitors, even if that might have swept up some clean athletes in the process?
Yeah, I thought the parallel in this case, which involves a direct attack against the Olympics by the Russian government, is more like the South African apartheid thing and the interference by the Kuwaiti government in the affairs of the National Olympic Committee, and that it calls for a blanket a ban. I can see the individual cases. If you really can show that, notwithstanding being wrapped up in this totally corrupt system, you yourself have managed to remain pure, and you can satisfy a disparate group of people who would be looking at these things. Okay, I can live with that. I don't like it nearly as much. Because it's not as firm a position as total exclusion.
In terms of kind of the future of the Olympic movement, Russia's not Kuwait and it's not South Africa. It's one of the great sports powers of the world. If you throw them out, do the foundations of the Olympic movement begin to crumble a little bit?
I don't think so. I think that will actually strengthen them, because what ends up happening is your government, a la South Africa, even though it's not important as a sporting country, say, why will nobody play with us? And the answer is because we cheat. And a sport-interested public is going to say, well, listen, we're as good as anybody else. We don't have to cheat to win. So let's not cheat. Let's get back in and demonstrate that we can do it on our own.
Yeah, although that took, what, 40 years, right, of the boycott, and that was, and you're right, like, it did have impact domestically in South Africa. They you know, there were rogue rugby tours, and there were things where they occasionally, but it is a sports mad country, and the fact that they were excluded, I think, did have an impact in the end of apartheid. But I, the only thing I wonder about, Dick, is that this plays, you know, if you think of kind of the hyper patriotism and paranoia, you know, that Putin serves up in equal measures. The, you know, the world is against us. The world is conspiring against us. They all hate us. You know, I'm not sure. I wonder if he took his ball and if he takes and he may take his ball and go home today, whether he can sell that domestically in a way that, I know the South African, the old South African government tried to explain it away as well. But, you know, in the current climate, I'm wondering if he could say, yes, the world is against us and we're going to do our own thing and we are Russia and thumb his nose at the rest of the world and be supported by the people at home rather than having them say, why aren't we in the Olympics?
I think he can probably get away from that during this pre-election period, because that actually plays into his hands, and it's kind of a style that he's developed or perfected. But in the long run, I don't think that's going to happen, and I think this will make his already suspect World Cup a little more iffy as well. I mean, unfortunately, FIFA has the spine of a mollusk, and it's probably not going to do much. But there's so many things going on that throw Russia in doubt that I think it's got to be addressed, but it may be one of these things. They say, well, when I get reelected, we'll deal with it, because some of his early stuff on this, even at the time of the first commission that I chaired, he was acknowledging that there was a problem. So he gets that part of it. What he hasn't been able to do is fit it into the political dialogue in a way that makes sense other than in Russia.
Dick, Stephen and I talked about, sort of one of the stories that came out of this is the fact that the deputy sport minister for Russia, who is now has been banned, and part of the stuff the IOC did was it personalized some of these bans and named names in that regard. He's still involved very much with the World Cup, and FIFA's already said, look, I believe the quote was, that's an Olympics issue. The World Cup is a soccer competition. Mm-hmm. I understand that you when you have state-sponsored corruption, you want to get at the head of the snake. I understand that. But, in some ways, doesn't there have to be some sort of aspect of athlete culpability here as well? You know what I'm saying? Like, I understand Stephen said, well, if you ban the Russians completely, you... you're banning potentially clean athletes, but it seems to me to affect widespread change, you've got to also get the guys at the top while getting sort of sending a message to the athletes that you can't do this anymore. And more to the point, you need to exercise pressure on your fellow athletes to not do it. And then I guess that my concern is we're focusing too much almost on the guys at the top and not enough at the people below them.
No, I agree, and that's why my personal view would have been to ban everybody, and get that dialogue started. Or if it's not dialogue, you can actually have in a country like Russia, at least you get people being more willing to become whistleblowers and say, this coach, mm-hmm. that official, and if you can find a way to protect the source of your information, then you can get a lot done. Most of the successful anti-doping efforts have not really been the result of tests. You got to be lucky with the tests. You got to find the right athletes at the right time, test them for the right things, and that's pretty much. I was going to say a lottery, but it's not much better than a lottery.
Mm-hmm. Could we have been having this? Should we have been having this conversation before Rio?
Yes, for sure.
Why do you think that didn't happen?
I think it came on the IOC a little too quickly. I mean, McLaren sort of made an effort in the mistaken belief that the IOC was actually interested in having this information ASAP, and said, I am satisfied beyond a reasonable doubt that this is the situation. And the IOC said, well, these are just allegations. And say, well, no, actually, they're findings of a very, very experienced and reputable investigator. They aren't mere allegations. And the investigations that the IOC has undertaken with its two disciplinary committees did nothing but replicate McLaren's work and prove that it was absolutely right. So with that, and with the unanimous recommendation from WADA, the World Anti-Doping Agency, before Rio, I mean, if I'd been the president of the IOC, I'd have been on my knees saying, thank you, Richard McLaren. You've confirmed everything that a lot of us sort of knew, in quotation marks, but certainly suspected, and we're ready to act. But he didn't. He said, no, these are just allegations.
Now, one of the part of the kind of Pandora's box that was opened up by the decision that was made yesterday is the fact that you're now, if the Russians don't walk completely and say we're not going, and they kind of buy into this idea that some of their athletes can compete under the Olympic flag, the IOC is going to have to determine, who's clean and who's dirty. I'm wondering. Obviously, you can't prove a negative, so you can't prove you didn't use drugs. But there's going to be, there's that whole question, Dick, of, if obviously anybody who is implicated in the previous drug scandal, they will try and ban. Although if athletes have already served a penalty for doping and in otherwise would be reinstated, that, you know, that seems like that's a matter for the Court of Arbitration and Sport, right? Then you get into a whole other procedural issue. I'm wondering how, in the very short window between now and the beginning of these games, you know, whether we're going to be entangled in hearing after hearing, trying to determine who gets in and who doesn't get in.
It's not impossible. The appeals that have been launched to date have not been successful, so that's at least encouraging. And at a certain point, politically, and this is probably something that, that Putin has to chew on, you start to look ridiculous. You know, appealing hopeless case after hopeless case to the Court of Arbitration for Sport, which is, you know, you're dealing with the experienced panels of arbitrators here who know sport, know the law, and are not going to get fooled by you know, some kind of lawyer's argument. So at some point you sort of have to, you know when to hold them and know when to fold them.